Welcome, welcome. One Life Family Worship. We are going to have an awesome day. I'll sing if you want me to sing. But I am in love with Jesus. Who's in love with Jesus? All right, who knows that Jesus is even more in love with you? Do you love Jesus, Ada?
You have to say something.
He's in love with Jesus. Are you in love with Jesus?
Come on.
Well, God is good. Amen. Amen. This is an exciting time to be alive, and don't have to listen to the lies of the enemy that try to tell you otherwise, because we are in a very unique time. And even more, even cooler than that is the fact that God has designed us for this time, to be alive here today, to experience everything that he has for us. And that's a big deal. If you can begin to rest in that thought right there and meditating that, that's a very big deal to know that God has designed you for today. Not yesterday, not 100 years ago or 100 years from now, but for today. So, this morning, as we're opening, because that is what I'm doing right now, is I am opening. And as the piano begins to play, and yes, awesome. I love this. And as we begin to get into the atmosphere of worship and just meditating on God and who he is and giving him praise and honor through our words, we just need to have an open heart and an open mind, and one that pushes everything else away and out of the way. Every other thing, distraction, and I don't mean your kids, because as much as they can be distracting, I believe God wants us to love them even when they're pulling on our sleeves and pants. But I'm not just talking about our kids. I'm just saying anything that has in any way prevented you from being free, from feeling the freedom that God has intended. We're just going to take a moment and just declare, just get that out of here. That's not part of our worship service this morning. So we're coming in with a clean slate, and I think we're going to all do this together. Just kind of, however you communicate with God, take a moment here together as a family, as his children, and just declare the goodness of God. Lord, we celebrate you this morning, God. Very thankful, Father, for waking me up this morning, for allowing us a breath in our lungs, for allowing us the joy of heaven to just rest upon us this morning. And we just rebuke, deny, and refuse the lies of the enemy that tell us we have to not feel well or we have to be sad or down. We just we rebuke that, and we crucify that on the cross, and we just welcome you, Lord Jesus, to have every part of our heart and every part of our mind. We understand that this is your day, Lord, that you have designed this day so that we could walk hand in hand with you, not just know about you, but to know you, to hear you, Lord, to be guided by you, and not be distracted with things that are so temporary. So we just say release your glory, release your very presence within this place, within our hearts, and we just come to you with a clean slate. We just say that the blood of Christ is so worthy. It's so worthy this morning. It's so worthy. It just allows us some freedom today. So I thank you for that, Lord. We rest in you, and we are excited, God, even by faith. We're just excited, God, that you're here and that you love us, Lord, that there's nothing holding us from you, that we don't have to feel like you're a million miles away, but that you're here right now. You're here right now. You want to move right here, right now, today. You want to do things in our lives And I just declare that you're going to. You're going to do things in our lives that will open us up to the reality of who you are. It would just open us up to you being right here next to us, not far away, not in the clouds, not in some place that we could not imagine of, but you're here. And so, Lord, we just invite you here and say thank you for being here and just rest in your peace today. And we glorify you. This right here, brothers and sisters, is the offering box, and that's all you got to do. Put it in, send your kids up, whatever you want to do, but that's where it goes. And don't forget to thank the Lord for that as you offer that up to him, as you give him that. Don't forget to remember where it come from and what it's for, okay? So, Lord, we just enter into this time of worship, God, with nothing on our hearts but you, nothing on our minds but you. Lord, we understand that your love is so great, and we just desire to know you. Anybody in here hungry for him, hungry for more of him? Because you know what I'm learning is if you just ask, if you just acknowledge that and you ask him, Lord, I want more of you. I need more of you. Let's let your fire just burn in my heart. It will happen. You will get what you ask for. And that door that you're knocking on will open. So, Lord, we need you this morning, God. We need more of you, God. We need just the fire of heaven, the fire of God to come in and just burn in us to give us a longing for you. We thank you, Father. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And for anybody out there that is not well today, we declare health in their body. We declare health in the body of Brother Bill. We declare health in the body of Sister Michelle and Diane and Carol. We declare health in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Yes, the King of creation, holy is the Lord of salvation. He is alive throughout the ages. He has proven he never changes. Holy is the King of creation. Holy is the Lord of salvation. He is alive throughout the ages. He has proven he never changes. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord,
sing it out to the Lord.
Holy is the King of creation. Holy is the Lord of salvation. He is alive, he in the ages. He has proven he never changes. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord.
Holy is the
Lord.
Come on, you are holy.
You are holy, you are mighty, you are stronger, you are great. For in your presence we surrender to your power in this place. Holy, you are holy. And in your presence, we surrender to power in this place. We surrender to your power, Lord. Come on, let's just sing it again to the Lord. King of creation, holy is the Lord of salvation. He is alive throughout the ages. He has proven he never changes. Holy is the King of creation. Holy is the Lord of salvation. He is alive throughout the ages. He has proven he never changes. Holy is the holy, 'cause you are holy, you are mighty, you are stronger, you are great, yes you are, for in your presence we surrender to your power in this place. You are holy, you are holy, you are mighty, yes you are stronger, you are great in your presence, Lord, in your presence, we surrender to your power. Come on, just the voices singing that out to the Lord, you are holy, you are holy. You are mighty, you are stronger, you are great in your presence, we surrender to your power. God, to your power, we surrender, God, to your mercies, we surrender, God, to your grace, we surrender, God, to your forgiveness, we surrender, God, to your love, oh God, we surrender to your love, oh Lord, 'cause you are holy, you are mighty. You are stronger, you are great. Sing it out in your presence. In your presence, we surrender to your power in this place. We surrender to your power. Break our hearts, Lord. Break our hearts, Lord. sing glory, Lord. Let all your people sing your glory, Lord.
I exalt.
Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place, fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
I got this picture of this deluge of water just pouring down on the ground, and how the floodwaters began to rise up, and And there were some that were in the midst of the water. They were allowing the water just to wash away everything that they held on to, everything that they were grasping in their hands or had on their back, or even some had things on their head. They were trying to save their things, but they became so overwhelmed by the flood that those things washed away in it. But then there were those that were on the edge, and only their feet were getting wet. And they were waiting and watching. And then as the flood began to recede, their feet dried off as the flood waters went down. And those things that they still held on to, that they still carried on their back, that they still carried on their head, they walked away with them. They kept them. When God comes into our lives and He floods into our hearts, into our spirits, like today, that's what He wants to do. There are things that we've walked in here with, things that have happened, disappointments, pain, hurt, some even addictions, things that we're grasping onto. And there are some of us that are so willing to jump into the middle and allow the floodwaters just to wash so much that it washes those things away. But then there are those of us that stand at the edge and we're watching, and we have the benefit of our feet getting wet, but we don't have the benefit of what the flood came for to begin with. And God wants to come today, and He wants to wash all of those things away that have distracted us from Him and have kept us from solely concentrating on who He is and who He wants to be in our lives today and for the rest of our lives. So we have opportunity. We have opportunity to jump down into the middle where the floodwaters are high and sweeping and cleaning and taking away. Or we can stand at the edge. The choice is ours. And God is saying, come in the middle where the holiness of this is. Come in the middle where the greatness of this flood is. Come into the middle. Will you just come into the middle?
Your glory, new beginning.
lives now. Show your power. Open wide the gates. God, this is our prayer, Lord Jesus. Rise now. Show your power.
Nothing but an invitation in the songs we're singing. An invitation from the Lord asking us to come into His presence. I kind of liken it to this, if it makes sense. If you come to our home, Ken and I have this little rule. No matter how much we love you, no matter if we know you're coming, we want you to knock, and we will come and open the door and let you in. The Lord is saying, I'm present. I'm wanting to come into your heart. I'm wanting to come into your home. He's knocking, and we have to open the door. So if you truly, truly are wanting to be in the presence of the Lord, if you're truly wanting to engage in a relationship with the Father, then answer the door. Because there is just a hint of a fragrance of the Holy Spirit in this building, in this room. And there's a touch of the wind of the Spirit in this place. So you don't have to open the door. It's your choice. But if you open the door, you will join Jesus in the middle of the place that Galen spoke of. So, Lord, I run to my door and I open it so I may be present with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Okay, so I don't really know how to explain it, but every now and then I'll just get like words that I know I have to write down. And I know it's the Lord speaking. And I got this one this morning. Stop wrestling. You think you're wrestling with me, but you're not. You're fighting yourself and you're wrestling with your sin. Stop. You don't need to. The more you wrestle with it, the more of you it has. Let me take it. This does not need to consume you. My son died for this, and don't play in his blood. Let me take this from you. I'm your daddy, and daddies do that for their kids. Let me be your daddy. You're having trouble coming to me because you feel ashamed. When we talk, you hide part of yourself from me. You're ashamed because you've fallen short. You feel as though that's all I'm going to see. That's a lie from the father of lies. Rebuke it in Jesus' name. I'm tired of his lies. Don't you understand that your name isn't sinner or failure? Your name is beloved. Your name is priceless. Your name is my child. You are mine, and I don't see my kids for their sins. I see them for all the beauty I created them to be. Don't hide from me. When I tried to hold you, you bolted it from my arms in terror. I didn't give you that spirit of fear. Rebuke it and come to me. All these circumstances, choices, and mistakes are towering over you like skyscrapers in an earthquake about to tumble. You don't see how you'll make it through. Your ears are bombarded by the lies of the enemy that he has thrown at you as bait to distract you. He's throwing you little treats that sound good but leave you empty. Then he walks all over you. Guess what? I have the bird's eye view, so take my hand and I'll show you. These monstrous things are small to me. Let me crush them. Close your ears to the world. I'm tired of all the lies in your heart. You're not Satan's dog that he can throw treats at and mistreat as he chooses. You're not a doormat. You don't need to let him walk all over you. It breaks my heart. Take my hand, and trust me, it doesn't have to be like this. Let go and let it fade. It'll hurt, but that's a trap. Don't fall for it. Just let go and let it fade. I love you. You are mine.
Yeah. the great thing about floods is that when the rivers rise and they go out of their boundaries, they do several things, but a couple of the great things are that they change the landscape sometimes. And I believe that God wants to change the landscape of some of our hearts. And the amazing thing is that by doing that, by the rivers rising out of their boundaries, they also deposit very necessary minerals, right, into the land. And they make the land more fertile. And I think that God wants to do that today in our hearts. He wants to change some landscapes and make some deposits so that we can continue to grow, continue to produce good fruit for Him, right? And it can be catastrophic, but I feel like God wants to be catastrophic in our lives. He wants to do some major changes in lives. Praise God. Praise God that He does that for us. He doesn't leave us the same. He changes us so that we can be used, so that we can be fertile. Praise God. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God.
I think all these words that have been brought require a response. If you're in the midst of something, God wants to meet you in the midst of that. God wants to come like a flood and wreck whatever's going on with you and rebuild something new. Like Barb said, He's just waiting for you. He's just waiting for you. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force Himself. But God is here. He is ready to just flood your life with His presence and with His glory and with His love. So I just want us we're going to open up the altars and we're going to pray with you. So as we bring this song back up, if that's you, just take that step of faith and say, all right, God, I'm ready to be changed. I'm ready to walk out of this place a little different, Father. I'm trusting in you.
Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill.
understanding. My life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven. I lean not on my own understanding.
A few months ago, in one of our prayer nights, God gave this to me, and I think it might be for somebody this morning. Do you cry in the desert, expecting that I will not send you water? Do you believe me to be a God who would let you die in your thirst? No, I am a God who will pour out more than enough for you to drink. But in that place, new life will begin. New life will sprout. So if this morning you're like, I don't know, understand this flood, I'm dry, I don't have anything, I need you, Lord. It's the same. You got to get in that situation where he's going to pour out everything you need, everything that you desire, all your hopes and your dreams. But you got to get to the place where you believe that he's going to do that for you.
Great is your love, great is your love. 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 Restore me, and how can I be dry when your rain is falling down? And how can I be lost when you have found me? For great is your love, for great is your love, great is your love. How can I be weak when you restore me? How can I be weak when you have restored? How can I be dry? How can I be dry when your rain is falling down? How can I be lost when you have found me? For great is your love. Great is. Come on, how can I be sick? How can I be sick when you have healed me? And how can I be dead when you made me alive? Weary, how can I be weary when you have strengthened me? For great is your love, oh great is your love, great is your love. For great is your love, great is your love. When you speak, dry bones live again. When you speak, oceans cease to rise. When you speak, nothing's impossible. For great is your love, great is your love, for great is your love, great is your love, great is your love.
Praise the Lord.
continue to play there. You know, it's funny how God can make and encourage time and time again with different words and different ways, and and yet it feels like the passion, you know, to step into that torrential downpour is still somewhat hesitant in some. And I know that, you know, you could just say, well, this is just a, you know, different colored carpet than what you're standing on right now. But I believe there's an atmosphere that's being released. And it's all over. But I feel there's a concentration for some reason up front. And possibly it's just, again, because it's a step of faith to move from one place of being comfortable to a place of, well, I'm exposed. And I'm going to say this because I really believe what I've been experiencing up here is just like a, I could call it like a flood. It's like a wave of just God's goodness and His glory and His love. And it's just washing over me, washing over my heart. But I believe it's not just for me. It's not just for the few that have spoken. It's not just for the worship team that's experiencing His presence. It's for whosoever will. And the thing about faith is that it is a substance of things hoped for. So we have to have some hope. We have to have some confidence that God is going to move and that He's going to do even above and beyond what we even hope for, because I believe that's my God. So as we sing Great is Your Love, I'm going to make one more admonition here. Because I believe that what God can do in a few minutes up here could take man years to accomplish, and maybe He'll never even get close. So let's give God an opportunity. We're His kids. We're His children. He wants to just gather us around Him this morning and just draw us into His heart. And I believe when we get that close to Him, His glory spills out and it transforms us. Great is Your love, Lord. So if you would, by faith, just come forward, I believe God's going to touch you supernaturally.
Is Your love, great is Your love, great is Your love, great is Your love, great is Your love. Great is Your love. your love. Great is your
just really felt God just speak this to me. And this is for I don't know who, but a lot of the times when there's desert seasons and things become really, really dry, trees have to, their roots have to go much deeper to find water. And I want you, I just feel like God's saying, don't despise the desert season that you had. Because during that desert season, your roots became stronger. And I just believe this morning that God is doing that work right now, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for that.
Colossians 2 and verse 7 says, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. One more time. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. I don't know about you, but I want to overflow with thankfulness. I want to be built on a foundation that will never move. It will never be shaken. It will always be solid. It will always be based on the one thing that never changes, and that is the truth of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord.
It is well with my soul. It is fair. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us act like that and carry one another's burden. Lift each other up in the name of Christ in these exciting times that we live in. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
So I have a praise report to share for the glory of God. My mom went in for a very high-risk surgery on Tuesday to remove a tumor. It was a cancer in her stomach muscle. And it was really close to her heart. And it was about between the size of an orange and a grapefruit, the doctor said, by the time they got to remove it. Just to share some of the possibilities of things that could have happened in the surgery, they possibly could have had to break her sternum to get into where they needed to clean stuff out. And she could have potentially lost a kidney through the surgery as well. But I mean, praise be to God that he had such a grace over her and just guiding these doctors' hands that they were able to get this growth out, and in the doctor's words was it went as well as it possibly could have. I mean, even her recovery now, we just got to go to Portland yesterday to visit her. She's eating solid foods already now for the past couple days. She's sitting up. She's walking around her hospital room. I mean, the recovery and the grace of God is just so great that, I mean, they're yesterday she told us that she could possibly be coming home on Monday already. And they were talking about keeping her in the hospital for 10 days and then even then making her stay in a hotel locally. That way they could keep an eye on her in case anything happened. But I mean, just the glory of God and his grace and his love is just so sufficient that she's walking around even, and she's had this like a sensitivity to like smells of like food and stuff. Even Monday night, we were hanging out in their hotel room before the surgery. You know, we ordered some pizzas. We got some cookies and stuff. We were hanging out in the room just, you know, just having a good time. And the smell of the food and even the cookies started making her somewhat nauseous. And yesterday I went to the cafeteria, and yes, I got a bacon cheeseburger. And so when I was sitting down to eat it, I opened the container, and I thought, well, how's my mom going to feel? I was like, Mom, is this food, is this the smell, is it okay for you? She is not sensitive to any kind of smells. I mean, the bread, even the smell of bread, I've never really smelled it because my nose doesn't work so well. But the scent of bread is something that made her nauseous. And now she's, I mean, completely better and freed from all that too. So just praise be to God and glory to him for this miracle. So. And I wanted to thank each and every one of you from the bottom of my heart for all of your prayers. I mean, I'm so grateful. I mean, words can't explain how grateful my family and myself is. So thank you.
Wow, praise God. Praise him. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, before the children go down, I just want to remind everyone that today is the day to turn in your Operation Christmas Child shoebox. And I see there's a couple up here. Is this going to be the spot? Okay, so right up on top of that speaker, you can bring them. And there you go. Thank you, Glenn. And if you do want to still do one, you don't have it here today, it can still be sent to a location that's a distribution area. We can get you that information. But if they are turned in today, we're gonna save basically that extra shipping to get it to the distribution center. So if you still want to bring it this afternoon, you can call us and we'll receive that. And Praise the Lord. Well, would the children please come up? Speaking of children. Children. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we thank you for your children. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're working in their hearts. You're working in their lives, Lord. You're drawing them to yourself. You're revealing yourself to them. We pray you just bless them, God, in such a way, Lord, that they come to truly know you, Lord, in a way that's personal and real. And, Lord, that they would walk in these days, Lord, as you have called them to walk. They would be, Lord, a sign and a wonder, Lord, to the lost and dying world as they live the reality of the gospel. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Okay. Next week, November 24th from next week. Yeah, it's next week already. Yep. Next week, November 24th, Sunday night from 4:30 to 6:30, we're going to be having our family communion. This is the sign-up sheet, so please fill in a time slot for your family. We will try to remind you with a text, or I guess we can call you or even email you so you'll remember your time. If we don't do that, just write down the time that you're writing down in your calendar. Then you don't have to worry about us reminding you. So right here. How's that? Praise the Lord. And let's see. Next week is going to be the 24th, which we will have Super Sunday. The 6th of December, correct, is going to be the Women's Progressive Dinner. Did you want to say something about that, or is that good? You'll say it next week. Okay. Next week. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is so good. He is a faithful. Yep. Faithful God. When we are faithless, he is still faithful. When we can't even get the courage and the strength to go forward, he can still touch our lives. So I want to encourage you that if you didn't come up today and you felt like, oh, I should have went up, just right now in your seat, say, Lord, just touch my heart. Touch my life. Let me receive what you have for me here today. Just because the music stopped, just because it seems like we've transitioned into something else, don't think that God's done. He can take any cry at any time, any calling any time, and he can meet us right where we're at. So I just want to encourage you in that. Sometimes we get to be religious and we think that, oh, well, once the service has gone a certain way, then, you know, I missed my opportunity. That's not the truth. God is waiting all times for us to allow him to rain and flood into our lives. Well, it seems like we're on a theme, started a couple of weeks ago, and the theme is God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His way of doing things is not the way we normally do things in the natural. And we learned last week that you can sow to the flesh. And does anybody remember what you reap? You reap corruption. And you can sow to the Spirit. And when you sow to the Spirit, you release and receive eternal or everlasting life. Thank you, Josh. It's like you're raising your hand even. That's good. It's awesome. Do you have something else to say? Is that what you're, or are you just... Oh, you're going to finish the sentence. Okay. So today I kind of want to continue on this thought of walking in the Spirit, of being able to take these truths and actually apply them so that we can reap everlasting life. We can reap eternal life. We can reap what God wants us to reap, not
the opposite, which is a destroyed and corrupted and messed up existence. We've all come from there before Christ. There's no reason to go back to that in Christ, right? All right, so if you would turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Now this chapter follows the chapter of faith, which has the great heroes of faith, has some of their stories in some of their key points of how they applied their faith to God. And at the end of this big, long list of people who were miraculously delivered and received God's supernatural touch, and sometimes healing, sometimes they received, you know, just an impartation of his grace. We hear in Romans 12, 1 through verse 4, kind of an encouragement for us as his people of how we're to also be like them and not continue in our own ways. So if we read verse 1, as a matter of fact, I'll just read through verse 4 and then I'll go ahead and start breaking it down. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Now, some of that is really easy to understand, and other parts of it are like, I don't quite get that. But let's maybe break it down and see if we can see what the Lord wants us to receive today. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. I want to tell you guys that, what are you looking at? Is there something wrong?
Nothing.
Okay. Josh like has this puzzled look on his face, so I thought maybe I read a different verse or something like that. But we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. So what does that mean? That means that those individuals who went before us, some in chapter 11 that we read about, are literally cheering us on, folks. They're literally, that word witness doesn't just mean they're like a spectator. It means that somehow they're also involved in what we're doing. They're not just rooting us on. They're also somehow, I believe, helping us. And we're surrounded by them. I don't know how that works. But if we're seated in heavenly places, don't you think we're also experiencing at the same time the people in heaven? So since we are surrounded by them, and since they are watching us, and since we are experiencing a supernatural life here that they're behind, let us then lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every sin which easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance this race that has been set before us. Now, I don't know about you, but when you're running, are you wanting to run with like heavy weights? Any runners out there? Yes, you do. If you want to really run well, you want to grab a nice 20-pound dumbbell in each hand and run, right? Is that the way you want to do it? And you'll be able to run fast? Everybody's laughing. It's like, yeah, of course, yes. No, you don't want to do that. You don't want to pick up 20 pounds in each hand and run. I mean, maybe if you're trying to build up your arms, but you're still going to hurt yourself, right? David was a instructor and trainer for a long time. He's saying, no, don't do that. This is an exemption for what I just said. Do not do what I just said. So evidently, it could hurt you. But let us lay aside every weight. Put it aside. In other words, if you are holding on to weights that are hindering your run, put them down. Listen to this one. And the sin which so easily ensnares us. Now, this is an interesting. I can see the weights. And I believe the weights, folks, really are burdens. I believe weights are the things in life that we haven't so clearly cast upon him because he cares for us. And those weights, those burdens, those, and most of the time, I'll tell you what, in comparison, as we read here, our burdens are really nothing compared to what Jesus faced. And for the most part, our burdens are probably only really burdens because we focus on them too much. Because really, in comparison to heaven, is there anything on earth that should really be able to compare to that? No. Remember this, I'm convinced the light affliction that we're facing right now is nothing to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. So let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Now, sin is anything, as I said before, that causes us to fall short of God's glory. So fill in your own blank there. We have this category of sin over here that these are the sins that are going to ensnare us. But folks, it can be just as simple as not believing God when he tells us something. It can be as simple as not obeying him when he tells us to do something. That's sin. If God tells you to do something and you don't do it, that's sin. If you read something in the Word that you're supposed to do and you choose not to do it, that's sin. Sin doesn't necessarily mean things that we do bad. That is also sin. But any sin snares us. So we obviously can see this burden issue. If we're holding these 10-pound weights, 20-pound weights in each hand, it's going to be hard to run. But what about being ensnared? Can you imagine me? Here. Can you help me for a second, Stephen? Wrap this sin around me here. Okay. He doesn't need instructions. Okay. He's doing it very tight. He doesn't want me to move, I don't think. Here, you can hand this to me. Can I preach with this at the same time? No. Okay, so I have just been I've just been ensnared. Oh, it's not working. You're going to have to hold on to that sin right there. There we go. I've just been ensnared with sin. Now, do you think I can run right now? Try it. Yeah, right. On my face. It easily ensnares us. And you know what? I stood there and I let him wrap it around me. Unfortunately, that's what we do with sin. We just let the enemy just come. Thank you. Did that quite well, by the way. You know, it's we let the enemy come, get whatever entices us, whatever we're weak in, and we stand there and we just let him wrap us up and ensnare us. And what can't we do then? We can't run. And you know what? This Christian walk is really a run. Our walk of faith is really a run, or it's supposed to be a run. Now, I know some of us run faster in this faith walk. It sounds weird. Faith walk, running. But it really is, because I believe we're to pursue God with a heart of endurance like a racer. We're not just to trot along. I know there's times in life we do that. And as long as you're moving forward, praise God. But I believe, especially in this day, man, he needs some runners. He needs some people that are ready to say, you know what, I'm going to cast off these weights, these burdens, these issues that I've been dealing with all week long, all month long, all year long, all decade long, my whole life, whatever it is. I'm going to get rid of these weights, and I'm going to get rid of this sin. Now, that sounds big. Get rid of the sin? Well, guess what? You're already rid of the sin because Jesus died. And because Jesus died, he made you free. And he didn't just make you free so that you aren't guilty of the sin. He made you free so you don't have to sin. I'm going to say that again. He made you free so you don't have to sin. Why else would he say, let us lay aside every weight and the sin? If you couldn't lay it aside, would he say it? Come on, we can lay it aside.
The only reason I believe, folks, right now, and I mean this with all my heart, that we are continuing to sin is because we haven't had a big enough glimpse of who he is. The more we're exposed to his glory, the less sin will even have any place in us. And I believe that God, in his grace, in his omnipotence, in his power, in his timing, right now in this day, is allowing our eyes to see him in all his glory. And some may say, well, I haven't seen him. Man, I'll tell you what, you just need to open our ears a little bit. Hear the testimonies. Did you hear the great work that was done in Diane? Come on. Brenda Rogers, praise God, right? Healing. Therese isn't here today. I mean, he's working. If we would just open our eyes, and I know there's testimonies all over this place, but I'm telling you what, I believe that each of us individually can see him in all his glory. Otherwise, he wouldn't say this, looking unto Jesus. Now, this word looking unto, it kind of loses its whole power of what really is going on. What it is saying is take your eyes off of what you're looking at now and turn them to Jesus. It literally means to take your eyes of what you're set and fixed on now and turn them to Jesus. Set your mind, your imagination, your thoughts, your heart on Jesus. Now, how do we do that? Sorry. How do we do that? How do we take this mind and turn it and set it on Jesus? Well, you think about him. You consider him. It says it right down here. I'll just jump down here just for a moment. Verse 3, for consider him. That means to weigh over in your heart, in your mind, what he's gone through, what he's done for you. To not just take it for granted, not just think about it a little bit here, a little bit there. No, weigh on it. Continue to think about it. When you're driving down the road, say, wow, Jesus, you died for me. You saved me. You went through all that for me. What all did I receive in that? Let the Holy Spirit start telling you what you received. Let God start imparting to you in a revelation that you can live out what it means to be saved. That it doesn't mean you're just going to die and go to heaven someday, but that right now, here today, you can live like him. Looking unto Jesus, taking your eyes off of what you're looking at right now, which usually is what's causing what? The weights and the sin, right? When we focus on the flesh, we focus and sow into the flesh, what do we reap? Corruption. We reap the flesh. We reap the fruit of the flesh. Last week I talked about if you plant apples, you don't get oranges, right? You're going to reap what you sow. God is not mocked. So looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now that's a sermon all of itself. That God is the one who started this walk of faith. He's the one who drew us to himself and revealed himself. And we received his grace and we received his salvation. And now what? We are children of God. We're now born again. We're now his offspring. Right? We're now his kids. He started this work. Guess what? He's going to finish it. He's going to perfect it. He's going to complete it as long as we submit to it. How many of you know that you can also resist God, not just the devil? We can resist God and the devil doesn't flee then. What does he do? He's attracted to us like flies to... He's filling in the blanks over here for me. Yeah, you guys know what I'm saying. But the point being is that when we resist God, the devil has opportunity in our life. When we resist the devil and submit to God, the devil has to flee. And you can't get any more simpler than that. Submit to God, yield your heart to the Lord, resist the devil, and he's got to flee. He can't stay around. And if the devil flees, I bet you're not sinning. Anybody else on that bandwagon? I bet if the devil is fleeing from us, we're not sinning. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's what we're to look to, is the author and the finisher of our faith. We're to set our minds on things above, not on things below. We're to set our mind on heavenly things. Now, how do we do that? Well, we think of Jesus. We say, reveal yourself to me, Lord. Show me who you are in my life. And maybe sometimes you need to close your eyes. I know for me, I'm trying to do that more because I look all around and I get distracted. Does anybody else get distracted? You see like things going on, fans spinning. It's like, oh man, that's interesting. And the next thing you know, man, you've lost that spiritual moment. You know, you've lost being able to connect with heaven. So look unto Jesus. Close your eyes. Say, Lord, reveal yourself to me. You know, because he wants to reveal himself to you. He does. He wants to reveal himself in such a way that you see his glory. He wants to reveal himself in such a way that you see his love. He wants to reveal himself in such a way that allows you to see him so you become like him. Now, maybe what it takes for you is to get into the Word and to start reading through the Gospels. And as you see Jesus doing these amazing things, stop for a moment. Meditate on it. Don't just read the story. Meditate on it. Start rehearsing a little bit in your heart what he did. Maybe Holy Spirit might even say, oh, and this is something that happened too that didn't get written down. He might give you some kind of insight to what Jesus was doing. Maybe he'll give you some revelation of why he did things the way he did. Maybe even give you a revelation of how a miracle took place. Yeah. How many know God speaks to you? Okay. And, you know, he doesn't have to just tell you, you know, to, you know, don't do this and don't do that. He can say, hey, guess what? This is how I did this. Or this is why I did this. This was my heart in the matter. Wouldn't that be nice to have that kind of personal interaction? Well, I believe as we do that, as we get closer to him and we hear the intimate things of his heart, we're going to be able to not be ensnared by the sin. We're not going to be weighted down with the burdens of life. Looking into Jesus, taking your eyes off of what it's been on. Man, I tell you what, if you can start realizing, you have Holy Spirit, this is what I ask. I say, Holy Spirit, start showing me when I'm starting to focus on something other than what I know you want me to focus on, and help me turn my attention. Help me to say, you know what? I'm not going to continue to look at that. I'm not going to continue to stare at that thinking it'll change if I stare at it long enough. Or if I stare at it long enough, I'm all of a sudden going to have, in the natural realm, the solution. You know? Let's say, you know what? God is going to take care of that. I'm going to focus on him over here. Especially when it comes to relationships, especially when it comes to things that really you can't even fix yourself. I mean, there's certain things you can fix. You know, you can change a spare tire. I'm not saying look at the spare tire and go, well, I'm going to leave this spare tire in the car here in the middle of the road. And I mean, obviously, we're not going to do that. I'm talking about things you have no control over anyway. Did you guys know that you really have no control over another human being? Newsflash. Married men, married women, you have no control over your spouse. If you don't know that by now, you will find that out. The only person that does is God himself. Holy Spirit speaks to their hearts, speaks to your heart. I guarantee most of the time when you are having an issue with your spouse or with someone else, and all of a sudden you're starting to get along with them, most of the time God changed you. Really? You start praying for them, all of a sudden God shows you something? Oh man, it's me. it's me, oh Lord. Right? You realize that it's you. You're the culprit. You're the problem. They're not the issue. Now, they may have their own issues, but you had plenty of your own that he wanted to reveal to you.
As a little side note, I don't know where that came from, but that's good.
but the point being is that God is working in such a way and working in our faith, because he is the author of our faith, and he is making it so that we do not have to be ensnared by sin and burdens and problems. says here, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Man, this is telling us, when you are feeling weary and discouraged in your soul, what might be lacking? Considering him. And that word, consider, means over and over again, in your heart, in your mind, in your reasoning, think about Jesus. Think about God. What a concept. There we're right back again where we say, Jesus, now you died for me. That must mean something. So that must mean that I have some value if you died for me. So if I have some value, you must love me. And even though nobody else loves me, you love me, God. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about reasoning. I'm talking about thinking about what God did and why he would lay down his glory in heaven to come in the form of a humble servant, to come in the form of man, and to lay down his life for me. That's what I'm talking about. Consider him who decided in doing that, that he would let sinners, wicked people, have their way with his body. Tear him apart from limb to limb. Shred him for you and for me. Consider him. Consider him. I believe what I'm sharing here is a way to move from sowing to the flesh. Is a way to move from sowing to your own problems and your own sins. Looking to Jesus. And if you don't know how to do it, ask Jesus. Ask God. Pastor Mike talked about looking to Jesus. How do I look to you? I believe he will tell you. I believe God is that close to you and that faithful to you that he will tell you how you can look to him. Hey, guess what? I'm saying some things, but you know what? Your way to looking to God may be totally different than mine. Your way for looking to God may be you put on some music that you just love and you just caught up in the moment and you're just worshiping and you're looking at him. You're experiencing him. You're talking to him, communing to him in the music. Maybe your way of looking to him is sitting down with another brother or sister and fellowshipping. And just letting their heart and your heart nick together and get so close, and all of a sudden you realize that your problems are gone. You're not thinking about them anymore. All you can think about is Jesus. Maybe your way is to just pick up like a psalm or something and start reading it, and your heart just fills him. However it is, make sure that you turn away from the other things. Don't keep doing the same thing. Don't keep looking at the same place. Don't keep focusing on the issues of this life. Because you know what? You'll continue to be ensnared with sin, and the weight of life will keep you from being able to run. We need to run in such a way that we win. Now, I believe we can all be winners. There's many checkered flags in the kingdom of God. Imagine if that was the next Indianapolis 500. Vroom, checkered flag. Next one comes by. Checkered flag. What happened? We just went politically correct in the Indianapolis 500. Everybody's a winner. But I believe that each one of us crosses the finish line with a checkered flag. We win. It's not like somebody is way up ahead of us and, oh, we'll never catch up. No, in Christ, you're with them. In Christ, even though you may cross years later and maybe not seem as far in the natural, you still get a checkered flag. Well done, good and faithful servant. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Man, what is your soul? That's your mind, will, and emotions. That is who we are in the natural, not in the spirit. And if we're weary, and if we're downcast, and if we're burdened, and if we want to just throw up our hands and quit, it's because we're not considering him. We're not thinking about him. We're not setting our mind on things above. Folks, we have got to learn this. I'm telling you right now. Because it's going to continue to get darker. It's going to continue to look worse. The newspapers are going to get worse. The reports. The financial system's going to go down. It could potentially bring you down emotionally, even physically, if you continue to focus on this earth. You're not going to walk in his peace. It says, I will keep him. This is Isaiah 26, I believe, or something. 26 or 23. Anyway, it's in the 20s. I will keep him in perfect peace, perfect shalom. That means, that word shalom means complete wholeness, peace, even prosperity. It means everything. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind, imagination, thoughts are what? Stayed on me. That's in the Old Testament. And then he adds this for good measure, I guess. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. In other words, fighting sin has not killed you yet. You're not dead yet. You haven't shed blood fighting against sin yet. I guess that's like his final encouraging word. Let's go to Psalms 119. One of the biggest chapters in the Bible. I think it is the biggest chapter. And it is an amazing psalm. It's loaded with all kinds of good stuff about following the Word of God, following His ways, loving His ways, loving His Word, loving His commandments. And verse 37... And I've shared on this before, but I believe, again, it just says again what I'm trying to say here today in a really good way. Because remember, we were talking about his ways. We're talking about doing things God's way. And how do we do that? How do we really walk this walk to where we are doing things the way that he has designed us to do them instead of the way that we think we need to live? Listen to this. This is the psalmist, and he's crying out, he's praying, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. In other words, he's saying, Lord, help me turn aside from these things that I'm looking at, worthless things. That word worthless means lots of stuff. It can mean defiled things. It can mean things that are going to be destruction for you or have already caused destruction. It can also just mean things that are of no value. It can mean like material gain. Could be like you're looking at money and how much money you can have and what you're going to do with that money when you get it. So turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Remember we talked about that his ways aren't our ways, his thoughts aren't our thoughts? So look at this. Turn my eyes, my focus, turn my attention away from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. In other words, turn my eyes away from the distractions and the corruption of this life and let me look at Jesus. It's just saying the same thing. Revive me in your ways. Make me alive to your ways, Lord. Make me alive to the way you do things. Make me alive to the way that and who I can be in you. You know, if God is for us, who can be against us? So why does it look like someone's against us and they're winning all the time? Did you ever wonder that? If God is for us, then who can be against us? No one, right? We've sang that song. Nothing. And yet it looks like because of our yielding, because of our being tricked, because of, I believe, our lack of focus on him, it looks like something's against us. And it looks like something's winning most of the time. I'm here to tell you, I don't believe that's the way God made it. I know that God does use the enemy of our soul, uses trials to build us up and make us stronger. But I don't think it's there to make us defeated. I believe that when we come into a trial, when we come into a struggle, when we come into a problem, God's grace is there to make us victorious in that, overcomers, not where those things drag us down to the place where we can't stand anymore in Him. Amen? So, if you have turned with me in your Bible to Psalm 119:37, I would like you to just say this with me. Now, there might be different translations here, so don't worry about it. But I want you to read verse 37 with me. And as you read it, apply a heart of prayer to it. That you are saying, you know what? I don't want to keep looking at the things that are taken me away from God. I don't want to keep looking at the things that are causing me to sow to the flesh and reap corruption. I don't want to keep doing the things that are causing me to be weighted down so I can't run. I want to have that alive faith inside of me, that revival of God's ways inside of me. So, when I say three, one, two, three, we'll start reading together. Verse 37, Psalm 119, not Hebrews 12, if you're still there. We're in Psalm 119, verse 37. One, two, three. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Again, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. One more. Turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Make that a prayer. Make that a declaration. I will turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things, and I will be revived in His way. That's making it a positive affirmation. Could you believe that God wants you to turn your eyes away from looking at worthless things? Then you can declare that. If you believe that God wants you to do something, then you can now have the opportunity to declare it. In other words, you're not begging for it to happen. You're prophesying that it will take place. I will turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things. And I will be revived in His ways. I encourage you to do that throughout the entire word. When you read that God wants you to do something and believes that you can do something, then you read it and pray it like it's already accomplished, because it is. If He's declared it, then it's a finished work. Would you stand? Father, we've heard today, Lord, that You want to bring a torrential downpour in our lives that changes the landscapes of our hearts. And Father, we do. We just commit ourselves and submit ourselves to that work, Holy Spirit. Even as we leave here today, I pray that the floods of heaven will continue to just cause our hearts to be the way that You have designed them to be, the way that You want them to be. Lord, that it would be easy and it would be who we are to turn our eyes from worthless things. That it's not a struggle, because we want to see You. We want to look to You, Jesus. Those other things won't even bring us any joy, Lord, because it's You that fulfills us. It's You that brings the life into our being that we need. Lord, I thank You for my brothers and sisters. I thank You, God, for their hearts that are seeking after You. And right now I declare over them that they will walk as You've called them to walk. That their eyes will be set on things above, not on things of this earth. That their minds and their imaginations will be considering You, Jesus, and the suffering that You did and the love that You showed and what You have in store for them, God. That they would continue to rehearse that and mull that over in their heart and their mind, Lord. And that right there would give them encouragement, Lord, for the things they face. I declare, Lord, that in their workplaces, God, that they would walk in Your ways. Lord, that when others see them, God, that they would realize that they're different. They don't think the same. They don't do things the same way. And it would bring You glory and bring You honor, Lord. And it would draw others, Lord, to that truth. Father, I declare that in homes, Lord, that they would look to you, Lord, when circumstances and situations come up that look too big to tackle. And Lord, that it would not push them apart but draw them together as they seek you. I just release your perfect will over your people today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have a great day.